CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star-studded challenge ever, and this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner here at State Farm Center as Illinois takes down Michigan State 75-66. They come back from a 9-point deficit in the second half. And we're going to talk a lot about the Baylor transfer tonight. Matthew Meyer with 19 points, career high 6 blocks. Dane Danger, 20 points on 8 of 12 shooting. And Terrence Shannon really carried Illinois early in this game, had 15 of his 17 points in the first 10 minutes. But Joey Wagner filling in for Derek Piper, who is under the weather a little bit. So get better, Pipes. So the best basketball analysis is not coming tonight. But this one's pretty easy to talk about because what a victory for Illinois to win its third straight game. We'll dive into why that has happened. But Joey, I said before the game on TV with Andy Olson that if Illinois has any thought of getting in the Big Ten title race, this is a game you need to win at home against a Michigan State team that's pretty good. It's in the Big Ten race itself. These are the kind of games you have to win. You got to protect your home court. And it didn't look like they were for a while because it was kind of a layup line there for Michigan State. But resilience, toughness, and I think talent shined late in the second half in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the talent basically was, and we'll get into it, the two Baylor transfers in the second half were, I mean, they were really, really good, man. And they delivered on a very big closing run. I also think this game, Illinois needed to win this to back seems really dramatic and also maybe like early. I don't know, but like to just look like they've looked like Illinois and the results have kind of bore that out against Wisconsin and then at Nebraska. But this one kind of felt like it reinforced a little bit more what we've seen to go three in a row there and to get a big win over a Michigan State team that had won 7 straight coming into this. I know you mentioned the Big Ten title race, and that's right, because basically everyone in the Big Ten loses some weird random game at some point. And Illinois is only 2 games out, by the way, of first place. But, like, even zoom out a little bit, take a step back, and, like, just a double bye, right? Like, to get in that top four, you needed to do this and start to set up the shaping of what could be a schedule here that could allow a little bit of a run.
Yeah, and man, we'll dive into it of how this team has looked so different over the last 3 games, but – man, you're glad you called the Baylor guys, right? I mean, what a performance for both of those guys, especially in the second half. Matthew Meyer had 14 of his 19, had 10 points during Illinois' 18-4 run, but even in the 14-2 run, he had 10 points that completely changed the game, had a couple off the bounce. But those 2 threes, man, especially one with a Michigan State guy right in his face, that's why you got Matthew Meyer. Is when Terrence was struggling to get his offense going a little bit, you had another guy that could light the world on fire. And in 2 of the biggest wins of the season, Matthew Meyer has come up huge on the offensive end. Texas and now Michigan State goes 7-12 from the field, 3-6 from 3, to go along with 6 blocks. That length is showing on defense, right? When you can recover like Matthew Meyer has, like Coleman Hawkins has. He said he learned how to block shots because Coleman was blocking so many of his, and he's not used to getting shots blocked. So he said he learned a lot about body control and everything from Coleman, how to jump off 1 foot, 2 feet, whatever it is. But one of his best performances of the year, and I think this is the best stretch of his season by far overall, just as a player, offense, defense. He's been much better as a team player. And then Danger, man, he looked like a Michigan State post player. Looked like Nick Ward out there. For Illini fans who remember him tearing you up in the post. Dane Danger played, I think, a season high, 33 minutes tonight, 20 points. Didn't have the best first half, Joey, defensively and on the glass. But, boy, when they needed buckets, outside of Terrence Shannon in the first half and Matthew Meyer, he was the guy that was giving Illinois a chance in the post when they were mostly getting crushed in the paint.
Yeah, can we start with Meyer? Because that run in the second half, I mean, the three, you know, I'll say it, dude, I kind of joked with you and Derek, like, Matt, like you put a quote like Matt Meyer's open, and you attribute the quote to Matt Meyer because Matt Meyer feels like he's open a lot of the time. And sometimes you're like, oh, Matt, that's not a shot. But when he's going, like, that's what it looks like. And that's, we saw it at Madison Square Garden. You've seen it here. Like, that's kind of the guy that you recruited offensively out of Baylor, and he's backed that up, and he's really good in ISO, man. And he and Brad Underwood both said more than a dozen plays, it was the same play, and the play was just to get Matt the ball. Like, that's what you need when Terrence Shannon had, I think, two shot attempts in the second half after really a great first half, and then you get Dane Danger down low. But yeah, man, that's, I'm glad you called Scott Drew, I guess. Did you call Scott Drew? It's called, I mean, you probably called him at some point, but you're glad you called the Waco, Texas numbers.
Yeah, I'm sure Scott talked to Brad about these because they had a chance to keep Matt Meyer, and Dane Danger obviously needed a change of scenery after injuries and just didn't play a lot there. And Brad, I remember 2 years ago when they played Baylor, he was just raving about that program, about their toughness, about their defense. It was everything culture-wise that Brad Underwood wanted in his program. So I found it very notable that he went and stole two of Scott Drew's players that went in the transfer portal. And I thought that showed tonight in a game, Joey, where you needed resilience, you needed toughness, you needed culture. I know that's a buzzword, whatever it is, but you needed veterans to step up. You had two guys here, one that played at Baylor a lot in Meyer, and the other one in Dane Danger, who really stepped up, and Terrence Shannon did it early, while some of your other guys, your younger guys, struggled early in this game, whether it was Coleman early, whether it was RJ Melendez getting beat up a little bit by AJ Hogard. Jaden Epps wasn't much of a factor in the first half again, but second half he was much better, including a big bucket late. I thought all that stuff shined through, and both those guys mentioned, like, Matt has played in these big time environments and played with a lot of pressure on him, whether it was the NCAA tournament or Big 12 championship runs, and Dane got to watch that. And he got to watch it last year too, here at Illinois. So I think that came in very, very valuable. And both those guys are really talented, right? Matthew Meyer was a top 100 recruit. Dane Danger was a top 100 recruit. Illinois is a more talented team than Michigan State right now, right? And Ty Rogers, who is a Michigan State target, didn't even play much in this game, just 8 minutes. It wasn't really a good 8 minutes for him, but Luke Goody was another guy. Like, so it's weird, like, Underwood has flipped this thing, right? And they've done it in different ways. That's why I asked Tom Izzo a little bit about how Brad has built this thing. Tom really doesn't love the transfer portal. Brad really leaned into it. They're both good programs. It's two different ways of doing it, but the transfer portal really paid off for Brad today.
Yeah, it did, and it paid off in both halves, right? With TJ Turnshin in the first half and those guys in the second half. Man, I completely lost my train of thought there. What were we talking about? The transfer portal and
just the way they've built this, the Baylor guys coming in, I think has been huge for them. And we've heard it for a long time here, Joey, that Matthew Meyer's a winner. It was kind of hard to believe that in the first couple months, right? Because there was some hero ball. But I thought Matt's post game was fun today. A lot different than the last time we had him at the podium after a win, which we remember. He was talking about didn't like the way things were going. Even though he had a good game that night, didn't like what they were doing, didn't like the vibes. That's when we started writing about the vibes are off. The vibes are good now because Matthew Meyer came out and really praised Underwood for changing the scheme, the offense, the defense, and seemed to think all those things were really, really good for the team. And he praised his coach for pushing the right buttons with the team. So Matthew Meyer and Brad Underwood seem like they're in a much better place now, and this team is in a much better place right now. And I think you're getting the best Matthew Meyer right now. And he's, look what he can do for you these last three games, whether it's needing to go get a bucket like tonight and getting a bunch of them, or just playing team basketball the last couple games, letting Terrence go do his thing. And then Terrence tonight saying, don't put me back in, coach. These guys are rolling. Brad Underwood said, Terrence said that tonight. I think that's a sign of a team coalescing and coming together.
Yeah, there's definitely an energy about them. And Tom Izzo said it. I mean, he mentioned connectedness with his team, and he clearly sees that out of this Illinois team right now. So you merge that with the talent. That was the point I had forgotten earlier, Jeremy. Tom Izzo says this is the most talented team in the Big Ten. And
I agree with him.
Yeah.
I just saw the Athletic mock draft. two Illinois players no other Big Ten team has won. And Matthew Meyer is a guy that's going to have a chance at the NBA if he hits threes and defends like he is right now.
Yeah, and I think it's the players meeting Brad. I think that there's a degree of that, right? When you have nine new faces, they've got to meet Brad and kind of understand who he is. And I thought that one of the probably the more prominent points, Jeremy, that Brad made in his post game was, and he said it a number of times, like, no one's going to out stubborn me. I mean, that's a direct quote he said. But then today he kind of thought it was interesting. His introspection, I guess, that a word. He kind of looked into it and said, I am stubborn, but man, sometimes he likes to win too. He's stubborn about not wanting to lose. And he had to kind of accept that the schematic plan that they had in place, the five outs, the switch everything, the press everything, that wasn't working. And it was in a really, really painfully glaring way. And in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I said a month, Tom Izzo politely pushed back, and it has not been a month, but it's changed really quickly. And I think that's like Brad met them too. Yeah. And I think that's maybe a feeling out process, and it's just the ebbs of it, or the kind of the low points happened in rapid succession, and it just looked like they couldn't shake it, but they all met each other a little bit in the middle, and you're seeing that play out in chemistry and schematics and winning and points and all of those things.
I just want to dive in a little bit more before we get into this huge what Tom Izzo said in response to us about this team and how it's, you know, kind of coalesced. Illinois allowed 0 3-pointers tonight. Zero. That's scheme. That's also a Michigan State team that was fine shooting long range twos, and it worked for them for a long time. And Illinois was giving up a layup line in the first half. I didn't think Dane was very good in his drop coverage. I wanted to write about that actually tonight, and I didn't think it was the night to do it. But he was 99th percentile at the rim in defense, according to Synergy. And that surely wasn't the case in the first half. But I thought Illinois' guards were gambling, whether it was Shannon, Harris, Epps, kind of gambling, trying to get steals. And you know, Walker and Hogard are too good. I think that's something to watch moving forward is Jaden Epps. How does he defend Sincere Harris? How do those guys defend bigger guards? We've seen Jalen Pickett, A.J. Hogard now take advantage of just freshmen that are younger, not as mature physically. But the second half, I thought they really clicked, especially the last 15 minutes. But to not allow a three-pointer is fantastic by Illinois, because Hauser can get going. Walker can hit them. But that was huge for Illinois to do that. Offensive rebounds were certainly an issue for Illinois in the first half, but they did correct that in the second half. They actually outscored Michigan State by 8 in the paint in the second half. The other huge stat I want to bring up, 5 turnovers, Joey. Illinois, this is one of the worst turnover teams in the country through the first couple months of the season. During the last 3 games, 10 turnovers, 11 turnovers, 5 turnovers. And that's not only big for the offense and possessions, Joey, it's huge for the defense, because you're not giving up fast break points. Illinois has allowed 9 fast break points in the last 3 games. That is startling, because this team was giving up, felt like 15 a night just on breakaway layups. So they're taking much better care of the ball right now. And they're just more locked in, it feels like, for the most part, more consistently to the scouting report and making things difficult defensively.
Yeah, Illinois had 1 turnover, Jeremy, in the second half. That was Terrence Shannon Jr., and it came with 14:41 left. So for the final 14:41 of this game, and Illinois had to put a second half together to come back, there were no turnovers. That is, as you mentioned, a stark difference from the play we've seen 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I mean, that Northwestern game, dude, was not that long ago. It wasn't. It feels kind of like forever ago a little bit in some weird way, maybe not for everybody, but 1 turnover in the final 14. None of us, dude. Like, I used, when we were in Nebraska, I used St. Louis as kind of this, like, maybe starting point. I don't know if that's the right starting point or the wrong starting point. But when we left St. Louis, if you said, hey, they're going to have 1 turnover in the final 14:41 of a game against Michigan State, none of us would have believed that. Like, that's, it's just the flip is switched. Like, it's crazy how quickly it happened. Like, that just doesn't. It's remarkable to me that it's happened so quickly, and I think we're still trying to distill down how. I mean, obviously there's a schematic element to it, but man, it's like they left Evanston even. It's like a totally different operation.
Yeah, that was 9 days ago. Northwestern was 9 days ago. It feels like it's a completely different team ever since then. I want to get into that here in a second here, Joey. 11 fouls, too. Just 11 fouls tonight. compare that to Northwestern. I know you had to follow a bunch at the end, but Northwestern was 25 to 30 something. It was ridiculous, right? So not giving up free throws a lot tonight. 10 of 13 for Michigan State, Illinois 15 of 18. Starting to get a free throw advantage. It's a really, really good thing.
Speaking of fouls, Dane Danger drew 5 fouls. He was 4-5 on his free throws. That's a stark difference from what we've seen.
Terrence Shannon should be a good free throw shooter. Free throw shooter in high school.
Yeah, yeah. And Terrence Shannon Jr. drew 4 fouls. Coleman Hawkins, 3. I mean, that's a lot of fouls to plan on people. And Illinois was in the double bonus at a really critical time, kind of, I don't know, late midway through that second half. That's important. And so, yeah, we've seen it go completely the other way. And to your point, Northwestern was a pretty glaring example of that.
Yeah, they made some clutch free throws. Meyer, Hawkins, who didn't have a great start to this game, made a big 3, did that, got 8 boards, much better in the second half for Coleman Hawkins. A big putback late in that game. Of course, Jaden Epps, that veteran drive with a minute to go was monstrous.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's bring up the big topic here, Joey. I asked Tom Izzo, it's always good. He's great in post games. He's got great insight. But I asked him a little bit about, you know, what he thinks of how Brad's put this team together. It's a lot different than what Tom does, and what he thinks of how this team's coalesced here recently. And he said, I think it was addition by subtraction. And that's referring to Sky Clark. He said, I'm not taking a shot at the kid, but they have clearly done something different and been different. And I've had that in my past where you lose a guy and all of a sudden something sparks a team. And you followed up and got a great quote from him. And he just said, something's changed. Something's changed. He doesn't know what it is. I asked Brad what he feels about Tom's comments. He said, that's the outsider's perspective. He seemed to say, no, we don't. We love Sky. We're here for him through this tough time of whatever he's going through personally that we don't know. But Brad said, maybe it is true because these guys are just getting more playing time and, you know, maybe a little bit more comfortable. That's what I think it is. I think there's a team that has clearly more defined roles. They know what their playing time is going to be. They know what their role is going to be. And to be honest with you, Sky Clark wasn't playing well, right? He wasn't playing well and wasn't giving you much. So you take that out of it, and maybe now you're just getting a little bit more clearly defined roles. And I think it just gave him a little bit more urgency than, you know, along with an 0-3 start that, oh, we just lost a player we thought was going to be very good for us. We're 0-3. We better buy in to whatever coach is saying we got to do. But Brad said it was coming. I don't know how much we believe him, but what did you make of all that?
I think the schematic changes would be like what I would describe as the majority of the reason for this. They look like a different team in the half court. The 5 out was a disaster. There was no structure. It's hard to expect structure out of a team that you would put together in the offseason to run that kind of 5 out system. I was talking to someone before the game. I can't even remember who it was. Another media person. And I said, it is kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the thing.
Sky leaves, they win 3 in a row.
Yeah. So, but you, it could be nothing.
Yeah.
And it could be something. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't think it's nothing. I do think the schematic changes are bigger. And I think that takes time to get comfortable with, to implement, to run well. But then also, I think there's the urgency if you lose a player and a team can rally around that, whether it's positive or net, like it can go negative, but also can rally a team positively. You know, when the world is against them, right? Everyone's kind of talking we're sitting here criticizing them as we should after an 0-3 start. They're not living up to their potential. Then this happens. It's like, all right, none of that matters. Let's play basketball. But then also Sky just wasn't playing all that well. And maybe now more of those minutes go to Jaden Epps, who's playing really well.
Dane Danger. I mean, they inserted him in the starting lineup. Was that Wisconsin? I'd have to go back and look to see if that was – I don't think it was
Northwestern. Bethune-Cookman, right?
Is that right? We were in Tampa. That game didn't happen in my eyes. but I think that's a big one. Like, you mentioned his defense and his drop coverage, and obviously offensively he's had those moments. I don't know. I do feel a little weird, like, when we – you have to point to, right? You have to point to Sky Clark left X day, Illinois won – X number of games following. The other part, I do feel a little weird because it's just some story we're not, I don't know. Like, I feel weird to go all the way in on that, but I do think you can't ignore it and you can't look past it. And maybe it's not a matter of Sky was an issue. It's just a matter of, like you said, and like Brad said, there's clarity, there's roles, there's minutes, there's all these things. And to your point earlier about rallying around, like, Brad Underwood is a master at telling his team that everybody hates them, that they're not going to do this or that, and everybody's saying you're terrible and whatever. Like, at some point, you'll see something come out, right? Like, something's going to show up that Brad said there's going to be some rallying cry that they've been using, we've not known. It just kind of seems like the way this goes. But, like, I just think there's probably a lot of factors rather than just X players out, X wins happen. But you can't ignore it either.
Yeah. All right, so this team has won 3 in a row. They're now 3-3. In the Big Ten, Joey. And if this team is going to be a Big Ten contender, you have to make a run. I talked about on the podcast with Isaac Trotter and Trevor Valise this morning that they thought Rutgers and Illinois are the most likely to challenge Purdue because Purdue is the most consistent team with the most dominant player in the conference. Their point guards have really stepped up. I can see that team winning 14, 15 Big Ten games, right? So for Illinois to do that, starting 0-3, you have to go on a real run here. Very shortly, but I think now is the time for Illinois to do that because the schedule shakes up pretty well for them still, despite, you know, kind of screwing the chance here against Northwestern on the road, Penn State, right? They had the chance to go get that one at home and you weren't able to get it. So I think this is a big opportunity for Illinois because now you got at Minnesota on Monday. And I know they just beat Ohio State at home, but you got Indiana at home that's reeling, Ohio State at home that's reeling. On the road at Wisconsin is not going to be easy, but then home against Nebraska, at Iowa, not easy, home against Minnesota. This next stretch of games feels like you have a chance to make a run. If you play like the way you are, I think this team in 2 or 3 weeks, if they continue to do this consistently, we could see them near the top of the standings after starting 0-3.
Yeah, that feels unfathomable to say after the bad basketball that we had watched. KenPom isn't the end all. You got KenPom pulled up perfect.
Yep.
KenPom isn't the end all be all, but see the Wisconsin game on the 28th. Basically, just to, like, because we were looking at this before, and just to give people who maybe aren't 1,000% familiar, and you can read it here. Generally, unless it's a really bad team like Minnesota, KenPom pretty much goes, we're going to predict home wins and away losses. Like, that's kind of a simple term to break it down, but it bears out here.
But again, basically, it lines up with Vegas. Like, most of his numbers line up with Vegas, right?
But Wisconsin flipped this game. Wisconsin was a projected loss before. The KenPom, I've got screenshots we can get into in a minute, Jeremy, but the KenPom changes just from before, I think I took a screenshot before, for Wisconsin to now, it's pretty glaring. Could you scroll up real quick on the miscellaneous stats here? So I am first time, long time here, so I didn't take the overall team. So Illinois and KenPom is ranked 21. So I didn't take it before, like, their overall before Wisconsin. But prior to Wisconsin, the offensive efficiency right now is what, Jeremy? 36?
38th.
38th. Prior to Wisconsin, 61. Defense efficiency was 33 before Wisconsin. That kind of checks out. But if you go from – since that Wisconsin game, from 61 to 38, that is fewer than 90. That's a week, right?
Yeah. They were like – I'm looking at the conference only. They were like 11th or 12th in offensive efficiency after that Northwestern game. Now they're sixth in the conference.
before the Nebraska game, Jeremy, they were 34th ranked team, according to KenPom, and they've shot up. So you're seeing like those analytics, and they're not for everybody, and there's a lot you can, you know, go into, but they're 21 now. Yeah. Like so everything we see is kind of bearing, proof analytically that this is getting better. That's why I think the schematic changes are such a big part of that.
Yeah, they'll be ranked next week. They should be, right? They should be back in the rankings given the wins that they have. We'll see what the net is when we wake up in the morning, but they'll probably be top 25 in the net because this is a nice win. This is a quad two win, but they just continue to climb up here. I think they were 25 coming into this game, so they'll be a little bit higher into that. But this is a time to make the run because you have home games against some of the tougher opponents that you have. You're on the road at Minnesota. Listen, Wisconsin, it's tough to win at Kohl Center. Hasn't been as tough here recently for Illinois, but that's obviously a tough game. But if you win five of these next seven, you're going to be in that race. But if you can reel off six in a row, then you're legitimately in this Big Ten race. Because I don't think Purdue is dominant. And I think they're going to lose some games here in the Big Ten, but just a real chance, whether it's a Big Ten title you're contending for or a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament or, you know, a top five seed in the NCAA tournament. This is a time that you can really do that. And I do this all the time. I do this all the time, Joey. This is what Brad Underwood does. Mid-January, January, usually they turn this thing around and they make a big run. I'm going through all these past couple years of Illinois basketball and KenPom right now. Like, see a lot of green in January through March. This is when they make their runs.
Yeah, and I know Derek Piper has been on this, and I think largely all of us have, that when things were rocky, and rocky's probably a generous term, they're late in December, it's like, okay, but hold on. Like, you see, this is back-to-back. I think it was a COVID year, Jeremy. Is that right? Back-to-back Ohio State and Maryland losses at home, and it was like, oh my God, what's happening? This team, no boy, it's falling apart, and it didn't. And they went on that run in January. So I do think that's, I don't want to say likely, but it's definitely something you have to take into consideration. And the way they're playing, you could see the way this lines up. They're also only two games out of first place in the Big Ten. Like two games. A week ago, it was a disaster. They're two games out of first place, and they're one game out of second place. Like everyone other than Purdue has at least two losses, and there are Michigan State, Rutgers, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Michigan are the teams ahead of Illinois with two losses in the Big Ten. So there's still a Big Ten championship. Okay, great. To me, like right now, just climb your way into that double bye in the Big Ten tournament. Be a top four team in the Big Ten. The seeding in the NCAA tournament is going to take care of itself. But they're climbing out. I think, I don't know if they have they climbed out of this, the hole? I mean, they're 500.
Yeah. I still think you're going to regret those. I think if you were 4-2 right now, I think you'd definitely be like, you're sitting there being like, yes, Illinois can catch Purdue. They can be the best team because they're the most talented team. They're the most talented team in the Big Ten. Purdue's got the most dominant player. Now can those other freshman guards keep it up? Like they have to do it, but hey, they've done it. And Matt Painter's a heck of a coach. But so you're going to regret those because I feel like you should be 5-1 right now. Maryland's a tough one to start off. I know Maryland has not kept it up, but I still believe in Illinois and Iowa. I still think those two teams can really push Purdue in this race. I think Rutgers is a really good team. I think Michigan State's a really solid team. I don't believe in Northwestern keeping this up. So I think it's going to come down to those teams. Ohio State's still got a chance because they're talented. But yeah, I think Illinois, you should feel like, okay, they're hitting their stride. I think the holiday swoon is behind them. I think it's a really good basketball team. It's going to be a no doubt NCAA tournament team. And it's going to be a team that I think most teams and coaches on the schedule are not going to love seeing on their schedule coming up. I think it's a team in the NCAA tournament. Once they get there, it's going to be a tough matchup because they're versatile. They can do it different ways. And Tom Izzo said that today. They can beat you big. They can beat you small. They could beat you big because Kofi Coburn, but they were just very small last year. And just seeing Matthew Meyer, Coleman Hawkins, Dane Danger, Terrence Shannon on the court, they are just so much longer, so much more athletic. And when they hit shots, even 6 of 18 from three tonight, and they get to the free throw line like they did tonight, like just a really difficult team to cover, man. It's a really tough, difficult team matchup-wise. They're going to lose some. but they shouldn't lose games like they did against Northwestern and Penn State.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the length, I know Piper said it from Nebraska. It's pretty jarring when you talk to these guys. Like, you're one-to-one with them, and this is a really long team. I mean, like, the thing that really, like, kind of painted that, tonight Matt Meyer was talking about Dane Danger. He's like, yeah, we're the same height. I have a 6, I don't want to misquote his wingspan, 6'7", 6'8", you know, whatever the case is. He goes, Dane Danger's got like a 7'6 wingspan. Like, that is exceptionally long as a basketball player. But yeah, I mean, this talent generally wins out, right? I mean, just generally
speaking.
If they're
well coached. Yeah,
and Brad Underwood, he's got a track record of being a good basketball coach.
He's a good coach.
He's a good coach. He's a good basketball coach. That cannot be up for debate. I do think at some point I would like to do some sort of deep dive and like in some off season, like what in the world goes on in late December? Like, okay, I get it, finals. Everybody has final. Like, why is this such a wreck in late December? And how can Brad Underwood get bragging rights in like the middle of February?
Yeah. Just poor timing on his part, or he just doesn't plan well for what his team's going to be in the off season. But then once the season comes, man, it's just everything clicks for him. This team is 11th in the country in block percentage. The highest they've ever been before this was 2020. They were 257th under Brad Underwood. That's the previous high they've ever been. They've doubled their block percentage. I am now looking up, I'm going to go back, Joey, and look up blocks they have this year compared to last year. But like 10 blocks tonight, they didn't have one 10 block game all of last season. That's the third double digit block game they've had this season.
And it's not just a dominant post guy just swatting everything away. It comes from everywhere. Like those chase down blocks, Matt Meyer's been really good at the rim blocking shots. He had 6 blocks tonight. One of them came, I think, on a jump shot, but he had a chase down block that gets things going. Now, the problem for Illinois tonight in times was Michigan State just kind of got those offensive rebounds on some of those blocks. But I'm curious what their block number is right now, because this might sound stupid, but it's got to be flirting with last year's number.
They had 99 blocks all of last season. Okay.
Oh, man, this is pins and needles here.
This season, 106 already.
Oh, my God.
They've already topped their block total from last.
Do you have the breakdown? Like, who leads? What's the leading? I could look all this up. Like, I don't have the internet.
All right. So, yeah, they have a battle. I mean, Dane's got a sizable – no, not a sizable lead. They have 3 players with 20 blocks.
Ooh.
Dane Danger, 26. Matthew Meyer, 23. Coleman Hawkins, 20. I mean, they got 3 of the best shot blockers in the Big Ten right now. Compared to last year, they had 2 guys with 20. Omar Payne, 24. Kofi Coburn, 27. Dane almost has topped Kofi from last year. And I would say what's amazing about Dane is he doesn't really hunt block shots. Kofi hunted them, right? And I thought he was bad defensively when he did that because he would give up a bunch of offensive rebounds because he took himself out of the play. Omar Payne would do the same thing. Dane does not take himself out of the play. I do think sometimes they took themselves out of the play tonight and some of those offensive rebounds. But Brad said, as guards, when you got guys that can go block shots, you need to dig and you need to get your nose bloody a little bit and just put a body on somebody, make it a lot more difficult for them. So young guards especially, that's not a surprise with guys like Jaden Epps, Sincere Harris, and all that.
Can I put the blocked in Big Ten perspective here?
Yeah.
Dane Danger is 5th in the Big Ten with his 26 blocks. Matthew Meyer is 9th in the Big Ten with 23 blocks. Coleman Hawkins is 11th in the Big Ten with 20. 3 of the top 11 shot blockers in the Big Ten play for Illinois.
It's amazing what length does, man.
That's why Brad Underwood, and this isn't like, and I think it's also important to note, like Brad Underwood tried to address this in the 21 class with Goody and Melendez. He knew that was something. You should kind of slowly start stacking that length on, you know, on top of one another. And that's, you're starting to see, that's just what basketball is, right? I mean, not always going to have big guards, but you got to have big wings and long wings. And that's what Illinois is building to.
Yeah. I mean, even guys like Terrence Shannon, 8 blocks, RJ Melendez, 8 blocks, Sincere Harris, 7 blocks, right? Like you got some guards that can do this as well. All right, let's take a few comments before we get out of here. If you want to, we'll scroll through some of these comments if you want to leave one and we can comment on it. St. Dominic, I have to apologize. I thought Brad lost his team. I underestimated Brad. He's a good coach and knows more than I do. I'm not seeing fire Brad Underwood on here like I did 9 days ago, Joe.
I missed that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, my good Lord. That's not it. But look, let's also, though, it was fair to be concerned about this team post-Missouri, post-Northwestern. Like, there were some pretty significant warning signs, right, and concern signs. Like, fire Brad Underwood's way over the top. But, like, concern was more than fair and justified.
As Piper wrote, the vibes were off. That has now changed. And kudos to Brad Underwood and the players for doing that. Bobo the Clown. When was the last time ever Illinois football, men's basketball, women's basketball was all ranked in the same year? That'd be 2000, right? I think. Because 2000. No, I don't know if 2000 the football was, because that was a 5-7 year. I think they were ranked early because they had just gone to the Micron PC Bowl, and I think they got off to a good start. But women's basketball, men's basketball were definitely ranked in 2000. So I would imagine it was those. But yeah, it's Josh Whitman's got to feel pretty good right now. Gonna have a ranked women's basketball team, ranked men's team. Your football team just had its best season in 15 years. Pretty good time for him.
Not bad, huh? Those were pretty good hires. Got two of them right on the second time around.
Matt asked, did you see what Matt Meyer said in the post-game handshake to Brad Underwood?
I don't think he means in the post-game handshake. I think it's the post-game interview. I didn't hear exactly. I just saw Brad made some sort of face. I didn't hear exactly what Matt said.
I think he said, he said something about Matthew being responsible tonight, was what he said. I mean, Matthew Meyer just had a big game on a college campus. He's a 22-year-old, 23, 24, isn't he? These guys are old.
Yeah, it's not old like Jake Grandison, Demonte Williams, Trent Frazier old, but it's kind of some old dudes on here.
I think he's older.
He is, but it's not like the widespread oldness that was.
Yeah. Nick, is Matt Meyer on fast track to joining the Underwood Players Podium?
Yes.
Quote Mount Rushmore.
He has fantastic. Been. He always has been. It's just he said things that ruffled feathers.
Yes.
Right? Like he was great for us to do our job. He was an awesome quote after Alabama A&M. It was just kind of a mess.
So Underwood era, it would be Io, Kofi.
Curbelo.
Curbelo is definitely on my list. I was going to wait for that one because people won't like that. Curbelo was great. Georgie, I don't know if he's on it. There were times it was awesome. There were times it wasn't.
There were times you wanted it just to be like maybe less awesome too. It's like,
can you answer my question?
Yeah, now, and that's not a knock on Georgia. He was a super fun dude to cover, to interview. Myers climbing. I thought Adam Miller was an awesome quote too.
Yeah. Now last year's team was
Sky Clark was he is an awesome quote. Ty Rogers, like this is a pretty good quote team. Not to put all these guys on the Mount Rushmore. So we got to pick four real quick. Do you want to pick a quick four?
I'd have Io and Kofi, Curbelo. I need more volume from Meyer, I think. Yeah. But he's on his way. He's on his way. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Am I missing anyone? I loved Andres Felice talking to him, but him and Plummer were both really good. But it'd be Georgie or Meyer.
Coleman's pretty good.
Dang it. Coleman says stuff. He certainly says stuff.
Some of you guys may roll your eyes, but for us, it's like, all right, that's pretty good stuff.
Nate, any word on the Sincere injury? Take it, Joey.
Yeah, Underwood said he has a bruise. I watched him pretty intently. He got helped off the floor by Adam Fletcher and Paul Schmidt, went to the locker room, came back on a bike. He's moving, I'd say, gingerly. As he rode the bike and went to and from the bike, he did at one point go to the scorer's table to check in. There was a timeout called. Maybe that's enough time for Jaden Epps to get his breath a little bit for that closing stretch. But the fact, I think, that he went to the scorer's table is either gamesmanship or a good sign. But the fact that he was back out on a bike and not in the locker room getting pictures taken of his leg, it seems pretty good.
Nate brings up, don't overlook Epps' play today was attacking at the right times. That take with 40-something seconds left, that was such a vet move. And that's just stuff you can't teach. He's 3 of 10 tonight for 7 points. But the impressive part, Joey, for me was against bigger defenders. I know Walker was on him sometimes, and Walker's not very big, but 5 assists to 0 turnovers. He's taken care of the ball pretty dang well for most of the season, but he's had some turnover games here recently. I think he had 4 against Wisconsin, but 5 and nothing turnover wise was really impressive for him. And then he can make big shots. He ain't afraid. I've seen some other comments in here that he's going to be awesome as a junior senior. I've said it before. He's going to lead this team in scoring, and it probably will be next year. I think he's probably going to lead the team in scoring next year because Meyer will be gone. Hawkins will be gone. Shannon will be gone. Epps is your go-to scorer. He's going to score a lot of points in an Illinois uniform.
Yeah, next year is tough. We just got to see how the portal plays out, right? Yeah. But he can get buckets, man. He's confident. He's really, really confident in his ability. There were a couple takes to the rim today that didn't work out in a pretty big way, but he was aggressive in getting down there and getting the – yeah, man, I think next year could be a definitely junior season.
Ryan said Izzo is an old curmudgeon.
A great quote.
I love talking to Izzo. He says stuff. Like, and he's not afraid. He wears it on his sleeve, man. I know you don't like him. He wins a lot of games. But, hey, Brad Underwood now 4-4 against Tom Izzo, and Illinois went 3 straight against Michigan State. I think that says a lot about your program. Any date on Goody, Tyler said. We have not gotten a clear date, right,
Joel? No, we haven't. It does sound like this month he's on with Piper and Lante on Fridays. Sounds like he's getting – there was a doctor's appointment this week. Brad Underwood was asked about it yesterday. Didn't have an update. We'll ask him on Sunday when we talk to him ahead of Minnesota, but he's getting there. I mean, Goody said himself on Twitter this month that you don't always want to take Twitter athletes as gospel, but he's getting pretty close.
Scott asks, who on our bench said what to get the tea? I was somewhere else in the arena, Joey, working on something, and I'll have it on the site later. So you were there. I don't know. It wasn't Underwood.
It wasn't Underwood. It was an assistant. I heard it was Tim. I didn't hear anything. We're sitting right there. I was on the floor tonight. Didn't hear anything. Went back and watched YouTube TV. It's actually delightfully a little bit behind when you're in person, which is perfect. I saw him. It looked like he stomped, but I didn't see anything that was like, oh, yeah, that guy definitely deserved a T. Michigan State's bench got one too, but I think it was Tim Anderson, but it was definitely an assistant.
Nick asked, best crowd since?
Iowa clincher.
Yeah, it was the best crowd this year, and it wasn't even as good as it can be because the crush wasn't around us, right? Like, they weren't all there. It was a break game still, but it was the first game in a while, Joey, that it felt like the crowd wasn't
asleep.
Not asleep, but there was that feeling back of like something bad's going to happen, right? Like,
oh, sure. That's a good point.
It felt like that, you know, that they didn't believe in this team. Now, like, they knew this was a big game. They knew that their team had it in the last couple games, that it was starting to coalesce in the way, obviously, their guys were playing tonight in the second half. But it felt like there was more belief in the crowd. There was less, I guess, huffing when something bad would happen because the team's playing better. You don't have as many moments of, you know, guys breaking off and doing their own offense. And even if Meyer did it a few times, it was like, good, they need it right now.
Yeah, it's also a really intelligent crowd in the sense of, like, they know the moments to get loud. And we have noticed the Orange Crush kind of helps usher those moments to the rest of the attention. But they were really alert tonight as to which moments they needed to get behind. It was a great crowd. It was a really, really good crowd. Iowa comes to mind, the clincher against Iowa, and maybe that's the court storm in my mind. And then the Arizona game in 21. Like, that was a really good crowd too, but definitely the best since Iowa.
All right, that'll do it for us here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Huge win for Illinois as they improve to 12-5 on the season, 3-3 in Big Ten. I feel like they're just like one win off of where I thought they'd be. Like, you know, there's some ups and downs, but I feel like you asked, are they caught up? Have they got out of the hole? I still feel like they're one away victory away or a big home victory away from that, but certainly feel much better about this team, Joey. Like, this is the team they're capable of being.
Yeah, they probably got to steal one that you would go into it thinking they're not going to win, right? Was that fair? Like, you steal the Iowa game at Iowa.
Wisconsin, too. Wisconsin.
On the road. You steal Wisconsin on the road. You probably are back to square one. I guess maybe we're moving the goalposts. I don't know. I mean, they're in the fight, right? Like, this could have turned a long, way different way 9 days ago. They're in the hunt of this thing. You got to take one you're not supposed to win. I don't still feels weird with the talent that this team's, quote, not supposed to win one. But you probably got to go pull a road upset somewhere.
All right, thank you all for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Shout out to all our live YouTube listeners. More than 400 this late at night, 12:10. We're recording this right now. Shout out to all you guys. We really appreciate you. And all the people we've met at the bowl game. I saw some people in the hallway today. Thanks for coming up and saying, hey, it's great to meet all you guys in person. But if you're on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. We appreciate you guys. That really helps us out. And check out all our content at Illini Inquirer. I don't know if Derek's healthy enough to do player grades, so I got to ask him if I got to do that. But I'm going to have a story on the Baylor transfers. Joey, you're going to have a big story on Tom Izzo's comments and just a little bit about how much this team has changed, right?
Yeah, it's a big picture. I mean, a lot's changed in 9 days, man. A lot has changed.
All right, everybody have a great night. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.